Welcome to the Whole Business Podcast, where we focus on bringing whole life success to entrepreneurs and small business owners like you, providing conversations and strategies that align your business goals with personal well-being and financial success to help you thrive in every area of your life. Welcome to the Whole Business Podcast. My name is Steve Harris. I am a holistic business coach, serial entrepreneur, and COO of Gorgeous Business Solutions, a small business solutions company dedicated to providing actionable solutions to modern day business challenges. We're all about bringing whole life success to entrepreneurs and business leaders like you, providing conversations and strategies that align your business goal with personal well-being and financial success to help you thrive in every area of your life. Before we dive into this show that I am so excited about, again, I want to thank all of you who have been joining us on this journey, helping us build this community, and have been listening to the show. The likes, the comments, the shares, that all goes such a long way for us to continue to build our audience so that we can continue to bring in speakers of so many different modalities, so many different mindsets, and allow us to really learn from one another. You see, I'm the host of this show, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I have all the answers. In fact, I can guarantee you I don't have all the answers. So part of my job is to bring in a guest who, like our guest today, Ari, to bring in people that can allow us to grow and learn from their successes, their failures, and then hopefully we can then bring others up along the journey with us. Spent this last weekend at a three-day course on wealth creation and investing in the markets. And one of the things that I loved about the speakers that were there, the coaches and the main trainer, was that they all came from a place of learning. They all came from a place of not knowing what to do in the financial markets. So they took courses and they learned, and then they skilled up to the point that they were then teaching and bringing others along. I think that's the way this journey is supposed to go. I'm going to come from a place of understanding in some areas where I can reach down and bring people up, but I didn't get to that level of understanding and knowledge and experience until I had other people that were willing to reach down and pull me up. I think if we are truly operating and living in our best selves, we are at any given time reaching a hand up to have people pull us up alongside, to teach us, to coach us, to train us, to encourage us. And at the same time, we should be reaching down and bringing people up with us. Now, up or down doesn't mean people are better or less than us. I mean, as far as ability in a certain craft. Guys, I cannot tell you how excited I am for these next 3 months. We've got some great podcast guests coming up. I'm actually going to also be a guest on a couple of podcasts, but I'm excited about the wealth of knowledge that we're bringing on this show. So it's something that I want to continue to do, and it's something that we need your help in doing. So how can you help? You can make sure that if you're listening to this show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you're subscribed to it, you're liking, go in there, look at the show, see how you can interact with us, share the show. If you're watching this on YouTube, same thing. Go to YouTube, comment on it, subscribe, hit the thumbs up, and let's grow this. We have to get through the blocks that are put there to determine whether there is a successful podcast or a less successful podcast, because that's when they get featured and that's when the audience starts to grow. Once the audience grows, we can bring those people on. So again, thank you for sticking along this journey with us, continuing to bring you great people. I do apologize. This one is going to be dropped a day late. Our guest had some family stuff come up with illness. I think he mentioned that on the podcast. So I'm super excited. So without further ado, I do want to introduce Ari Gunsberg. He's a keynote speaker, actually named him in the top 10. He's a high impact coach, an adventurer, an award-winning writer. We're going to talk about his book a little bit today. Inspirational and motivational speaker on adversity, positive mindset, resilience, and the power of possibility. This guy has lived a life of service and is continuing to go bigger. And so I'm very excited to introduce Ari. to you, our audience, and you're in for a great treat. I have Ari finally joining us. We have been talking about this for a couple weeks. I've been letting you guys know. I've actually been able to take the last couple weeks and devour his amazing book that we're going to talk about. But Ari, welcome to the show, man. I am so excited to have you here.
I'm thrilled to be on here. Really, I do appreciate you reaching out. And, you know, I kept on getting a little nuggets from you. You're like, oh, I'm reading this part of the book. I'm reading this part of the book. It was pretty awesome, pretty cool to kind of see it in real time. So looking forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I get the nuts and bolts about who you are, keynote speaker, named in the top 10, high impact coach, adventurer, obviously award-winning writer, inspirational and motivational speaker. Like, tell us who you are.
So it's funny, right? Like when we have all these like accolades or these things that we kind of like tell to like build business and everything like that, like you just said, like it completely, totally misses a lot of times the essence of who we are in a personal way, you know, like, who am I? I'm a kid that went through some traumatic experiences growing up that, eventually kind of used those experiences to kind of rebound and start building something a little bit more and to try and be there for people to help them, to help like the teens and the kids not go through those traumatic experiences and to help adults potentially get past their own traumatic experiences that they've been through, not from a clinical sense or anything, and you know, to build a better life for themselves. You know, we all have so much potential. It's just a matter of being able to see it and then being able to take action on it.
Yeah, yeah. So you went through some experiences in life. What caused you to say, okay, I want to take those and make the world a better place, right? We live in a society where a lot of people are going through traumatic times and have things going on. But then they kind of stay in themselves or think, you know, I want to help people, but they don't actually make those necessary steps to go forward. And you didn't just go forward. You actually went onto the stage and wrote a book. And like, what caused you to go, okay, this is my life's ambition?
Well, so first of all, you know, you mentioned like a lot of people go through experiences and then kind of get stuck or they don't necessarily know the next step. So like Les Brown, the motivational speaker, he talks about the people sometimes like, well, they'll end up parking, right? Things happen to them and they cause reactions in them. And then they're like, I can't do this much more. And they pull their car over to the side of the road. They stop it. Like, I'm in need of help. But nobody can necessarily tell that because other than the highway, it's really hard to tell when somebody needs that help, change tire or a jump or whatever it is. So first of all, just talking about that for a second, if you are in need of help and if you are struggling with something, it always will be better for you and long term and for the people around you if you reach out for help and if you, you know, tell people like, hey, I'm really struggling with this, you know, do you think you might be able to help? I'm just looking for some extra ideas, etc. Because you'll ultimately be able to hopefully get to a better place with it. Mm-hmm. That being said, how did I end up getting into this place with speaking and stuff like that and to share my message? When my daughter, the one who's homesick right now, when right before she was born, a little bit over 8 years ago, somebody invited me to come out and speak to a group of juvenile delinquents who are currently locked up in the Coyote County Courthouse, or they have like a lock room back there, something where they keep in certain people who are awaiting trial, or if the prisons are too full, they keep them there. And so she was working there. She invited a few people. She said, you know, we're doing career day. We want these kids to know that there's other careers in addition to being a police officer or a teacher or a drug dealer, right? I mean, because a lot of times kids who are growing up on the street, they might only have interactions with a few different types of careers. Bodega, bus driver, teacher, police officer, drug dealer, gang member. You know, I mean, like the possibilities are a little bit limited because they only see certain things. And so she wanted to bring people in for that. She reached out to me directly. I, with my past, was like, no way am I going back in a place like that. And she was like, all right, fine. And so then I started kind of like my gear started turning. And I was like, I really should. If of all the people that she reached out to, because we were all friends, I was like, I can probably connect with them the best. Because I actually have been in situations where I not – to the degree that they have, but I've been in situations where I'm sitting there and like, you know, oh, you know, spending hours and stuff like in a place like that. And so I was like, you know, I really should do something with this. I reached back out to her. She said, we're all filled up. I said, yes. And then somebody canceled within the next few hours, so I took a slot. I went in, and total imposter syndrome when I walked in the door, right? On the way down, I was completely freaking out. I was listening to Les Brown on the radio in the car to try and pump myself up, but I had stayed up all night writing out my story so I could tell them my story and then talk to them about marketing, which was my field before this. And then in the morning, I'm like, I don't even know if they want to hear my story. What do I do? So I started freaking out, and I realized that there was a simple solution. Walk in, say, I can tell you my story, or I can talk about my career. Which one do you want to start with? And raise your hand if you want to hear my story. And it was almost unanimous, if not unanimous. And they were like, we want to hear your story. I told my story. They were like, holy cow. Like they recognized that we had a lot of similarities and that by making better choices at certain points that we can potentially create better futures for ourselves. And it was just incredibly rewarding. We did a little marketing exercise also, and I created a graphic based on the product that we created verbally, and I sent in the graphics so she printed it out, put it up on the wall for them, and they were like, holy cow, like you cared enough to follow up afterwards and make this product. And so it was pretty cool as well. And that's like, I was like, oh wait, if I open up about my experiences, right? A lot of times I didn't want to talk about that stuff. I want it to be normal, you know, like I never went there, you know, I never did that. You know, obviously I wouldn't deny it if asked point blank, but be cagey about it. Cause you know, maybe you can kind of like hide under the radar. And then I was like, wait, if I'm willing to talk about my past, which can't really harm me, right? You know, if I'm willing to talk about my past, then I can really help people in a big way. That's what led me on that journey.
Love that. You know, one of the things that our message and the reason for this podcast even to be around is really trying to, you know, we call it the whole business because yes, it's entrepreneurs, it's business leaders, but it's people. And so one of the big premises that we think about and talk about is creating whole life success, which is not just in our businesses. And that whole life success, whether it's business, whether it's relational, whether it's anything, is so much to do with who we are as a person. Within our business, we talk to entrepreneurs about making sure that people see that they are a real person, which is going to be shortcomings, failures, successes, wins. But people want to interact with people. And I think we, and social media, unfortunately, I'm going to blame, we put on this persona and we're afraid to talk about the shortcomings, the things that we've done in our past. Well, that's what makes us who we are and gives us, like you have done, the opportunity to serve at a deep level, because now you're not just speaking from somebody who is maybe sympathetic to what they're going through, but can actually speak from empathy and provide hope and real solution changes in their lives. So thank you for doing that. I think we need more people authentically being who they are and serving from that place. So that's absolutely awesome. So what caused you to write the book? And folks, the book is called The Little Book of Greatness. I'm going to put a link in the show so you can get it. It's an absolutely wonderful book, and we'll dive into it just a little bit. But what caused you to decide to write this little book of greatness?
So I had this job where I basically was in a car driving for an entire summer. I drove the amount of miles that it would take to drive from the East Coast to the West Coast, back to the East Coast, and then back to the West Coast. Wow. Over the course of the summer. I hit like 9,000 miles over the summer. So while I was doing that, this was like I was already starting to kind of get into the realm of like I want to be a public speaker. I was trying to get my name out there. I was trying to shift from free speaking into paid speaking. And I was like, I need to have like a program. And so I kind of started just I listened to podcasts. I listened to books. I listened to music. I did plenty of stuff in addition to this. But one of the things that I also did was like pause for a little bit, like during the music, quiet time that I gave myself to kind of contemplate like what's life really all about? Like, what are these top things that would really help create a life of, at that point, I didn't really have this concept of greatness. I was kind of just like wondering, like, if we could take everything in life and get it all down to just a few things, what would be those major, major secrets that would make the major, major difference in life? So I went through and I had these huge lists, and I would like, you know, at one point I had 10, 15, 20 things on there, and I would be like, oh, you know, you really need this. You need this. You know, it's really important to have charity. It's really important to like be empathetic. It's really important to like, you know, be aware of the people around you. I had all these lists, and then I started realizing that there were so many things that were kind of the best way to think of it is almost like descendants of a larger category. And so I kind of started taking this large list and started putting it back into a smaller list. Like, no, this is really part of this one. This can really be said to be a part of this. And eventually I got down to just 5 items. And I took those 5 items, and it's funny, at the beginning, I don't even remember what they were, right? Because I just picked 5 words to signify the 5 categories. And I was using words that started with a P, right? For a narration type thing. And I would sit there and have to pull up my notes when I'm talking to somebody and trying to sell them on this keynote. And I'd be like, wait, this is what they are. So very quickly, I was like, I need to come up with an actual mnemonic, which is what we did. And then I was like, I need to have another way of presenting this information to the world. This is during COVID or right before. And so I was like, okay, you know, there's the 5 keys. I want to tell them over in a story, in a book. The nonfiction books that I love reading nonfiction because I love learning. I hate reading nonfiction because a lot of times it's boring. The only nonfiction that's like a guarantee that I'm going to finish is Malcolm Gladwell, right? I can pick up a Malcolm Gladwell book and it is so amazing. I'm just like, whoa, 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 whoa. Oh my gosh. Okay. Whole new view on the world. But a lot of other people, you know, you read the book, you're like, it's interesting, but you know, I get to like 30% or 50% or 60%. I put it down. If I listen to the book, right, with lots of driving coming up, I will usually get through the whole thing because, again, you're listening, but the books that I always finish are the books that are written as parables or stories, right? Because you pick it up, you read the story, and you feel like a changed person afterwards. So I knew that I had to do it in a story. And so because of that, I kind of just wrote out the outline of what it was going to be about, you know, who's, you know, and I started fleshing out characters and started figuring out everything like that. And then I was like, time to write. And for about 2 months or so, or whatever it was, a month and a half, I woke up every single morning and I was like, I'm not doing anything today until I've written for a little bit, right?
Love it.
Year, I read Stephen King's book On Writing. I was a big fan of Stephen King way back when. Years and years and years ago, like growing up, I was reading almost exclusive Goosebumps to Fear Street to Stephen King. And then eventually I went past that. But so like he was like, the number one thing is writing every single day. If you write 200 words, it's way better than writing 0 because you'll have momentum. Obviously, a good goal is 1,000. So I was shooting for 1,000 every single day. But, you know, and really just sitting down and getting something done was important. And I cranked through the book like that. And then I went through the editing process and I was able to publish it by the mid to late August of 2020.
Wow. You know, the using a parable, it reminds me of, I'm sure you're familiar with The Alchemist.
Just one of my favorite books.
Another great book that I actually had a buddy recommend to me years ago. And I am kind of the opposite. I love nonfiction, like almost to the point where if the more cut and dry and boring they are, I devour them even more. It's just something broken in me, and it's been that way for a while.
It's not broken. There's 7 billion people in the world. We all like different things, and that's okay. Like you don't have to be like, oh, I'm broken because I like.
Right. That's true. Like that's true.
Yeah, you know, I used to, you know, the teacher used to give us history books in school, and it's like I would like read through it because it was interesting. Yes, it's school. Yes, it's what. But it's still like if you write it decently interesting, it's interesting. This cool, right? History's cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, it absolutely is. Absolutely. But yeah, that's one thing though. I was just and I hadn't even thought about it until you had mentioned it. You know, so many of these books that I read, like I'm in the middle of just a massive one right now, and I love it. But it takes me a while because it fatigues my brain.
Yeah.
Sitting down to read yours, I was engaged the whole time and I wanted to see the story play out. And oh yeah, at the same time, I'm actually getting some great things. And I love that you broke it down and into the 5 keys and the fact that it's spelled out in the word great. Cause you can remember it more. And as a sales coach for so long, I used to take, you know, have my sales guys and they would talk about all these different objectives. And every single time, and I teach this now, every single time it breaks down to only 4 objectives. It can be rephrased and said things whole different ways. But at the end of the day, it's only 4 objections that you have to master and handle. And all of a sudden, when the light bulb comes on, people are like, oh, this isn't so daunting. Well, it's the same thing with what you wrote.
Do you talk about them ever or no?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So
can you drop for them right now or no?
Yeah. Money obviously is the one that most people think is a, is an objection. Time. Typically, so it's not the, it's either the wrong timing for somebody to
make a different purchase right now. Yeah.
Right. There's a significant other. So there's a, another party involved, whether it's a spouse, a friend, a boss,
business partner,
B2B, right.
Yeah.
And then that we're just not the solution, that we haven't informed them that they, or they haven't, we haven't quite helped them come to a place of the fact that we are the right solution, or quite simply, we're just not the right solution. As a salesperson for years before I got up into management and then training and all that, I was that honest guy that said, you know what, after hearing everything you're looking to do, my product is not the right solution, which garnered me so much respect for them. I had more referrals coming from people that didn't buy from me because of the way that I was honest with them. So it's always those four things, and it breaks it down. And that makes it easier as a salesperson to train up and skill up and be ready to attack just four things, not just well, they said this and this and this. Same thing with what you have here. Is it okay if I go through the five keys?
Please. Yeah.
Awesome. So folks, the five keys to greatness. And again, it's fantastic because it's broken down into the word or broken out of the word great. So we start with G, which is give, to provide more to others, reasons for the word R or for the letter R, to have a purpose in life and at work, engage, to be more present. This is one of my favorites and most so needed right now in the present moment. Amazing to have a more positive attitude, and then tenacity to be more persistent. All of these are so massively important. And I love that you're able to break down what goes on in a mind of, I just want to be a better person. I want to find success. You can find a book on every little thing and you just sometimes get more confused, but this makes it succinct and brings it all into one place. So, is there a journey that you went through? I mean, I know the car ride and thinking through it, but how did you break down all the massiveness? I mean, just with the word give, to provide more to others, that's a massive undertaking. And so many people get confused. And I believe the confused mind typically ends up just freezing and doing nothing. You know, like my first question to you when we started, of, okay, you had this story, you had this experience, but what made you make that step forward? Same thing when it comes to each of these. So what was the drilling down process? What made you think that, okay, that's the final point?
So I don't necessarily have great clarity on the question, but you're saying like, what made me say like, this is the time to write the book or this?
No, what made you take all the parts of the journey that people are in? Let's take reason to have a purpose in life and at work, like all the other ways that people try and find, purpose in life. Like, you know how you said you drilled down from a bunch of different areas and realized that was it. How did you drill down on each one of these and come to the final stopping point of that's the purpose? That's that thing we need to focus on.
Like in the car ride, it was just, you know, there's a million self-help programs or even just like nonfiction books and everything, you know, like Simon Sinek has Start With Why, which focuses very heavily on having a very good idea of why you do what you do. There's just lists and lists and lists and lists and lists of books. So a lot of them, like you said, like a lot of them can be distilled down into, you know, what are these main core things? And that's what this is all about, right? There are so many aspects to giving, right? If you are a manager, you need to be more aware of what your people need and be there to provide it for them. If you're in a family, you need to sit there and recognize what other people need, and you have to be able to give them time. If you can't give them time, nothing's going to function. If you're in a, if you have coworkers, right? A new person comes in and works at your office. Well, you know, do they know where anything is? Right? They're terrified. They're not going to show it, but they are in that, you know, first day of school mode. But it's not first day of school where everybody else is on the first day of school. Y'all have been there for 20 years.
Right.
So they're terrified. They don't necessarily know where the bathroom is. They don't necessarily know how things work. They don't necessarily know how, you know, like years ago. And this, it happens to be like, you know, it depends on the people who do it and how they do it, right? So some hazing gets into like that bullying zone where it's like really, really bad. And some hazing is like, okay, yeah, they were joking around with me, move on with their lives. Years ago, I worked in a corian plant for a little bit. Corian, if you don't know, is a very, very thin, long sheet of man-made material, I think maybe based off of plastic, and you take it and you shape it into a thing. It basically make counters off of it, right? And you can like glue it together and whatever. So it's a giant sheet. If I remember correctly, maybe it's like 3 feet by 12 feet or something. And you take the sheets off the truck, you throw them on the thing, you build stuff out of this color for this, and it like I can walk into airplane bathrooms now and be like, I used to manufacture those way back when, right? The little counter, right? We would make that weird shaped counter based off of a router. That's not the point. The point is, it's this huge piece of hard material, almost like a granite, but like not breakable like granite. Granite bends, by the way, super cool. But a friend of mine used to have a granite shop, so I digress. But so within my first few days of working in this plant, some of the guys came up to me. One of the guys came up to me. He's like, "Oh, go ask, you know, whatever his name was, Jimmy Bob. Go ask him for a for the Corian bender." I'm like 18, 19 years old or something, right? Man, but the job, I have no idea. Like, it doesn't sound like something, but you know, I mean, it happens to be. I also have a little bit of experience in woodworking. I know that you can bend wood, right? Like, you can sit there and do stuff to wood and create a bend in it. Sometimes you have to, sometimes it's a very lengthy process. If it's really thin wood, it's just a setting process, whatever, but you can do it. So I'm like, all right, whatever, you know? So I go over to the guy. I'm like, where's the Corian bender? And he just starts laughing and they start laughing. And it's like, okay, you got me good, whatever, you know? Like, it wasn't, but. You know, without those people having those interactions, right? You don't feel that kinship with the people around you. Without the people who are like, you know, then the other guy's like, oh, they're just, you know, the other guy comes over. He's like, oh, they were just being mean. There's no Corian bender. Don't worry. Let me get you back over to here. Do you have any questions? Do you know where everything is? Everybody's floundering. And so like being more aware of what's going on so we can kind of put it out there, right? A world where we are only focused on ourselves is not much of a world, right? There's an ancient philosopher. His sayings are recorded in the Talmud. His name was Hillel. Let me see if I can remember this correctly. If I am only for myself, what am I? Mm. Yeah, it was three things, right? If I'm only for myself, what am I? Right? If I can't be just for me. I just blanked on the second one. Well, I think the second one is along the lines of I can't believe I'm blanking. So I think the first one's like, if I'm only for myself, what am I, right? You have to be more than just for yourself. But if I am not for me, then who will be for me? I think that's the second one, right? Meaning like you still need to focus on yourself. You still need to be there for yourself. You still need to self-advocate. You still need to have self-worth and self-reliance and everything else. And then the last one is, if not now, when, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow, right? Tomorrow quickly becomes next month, next year, 5 years, 10 years. And then at some point in time, there is no more tomorrow. So,
yeah.
But the main point that I was bringing that up for is, if I'm only for myself, what am I really for, right? We're not, we can't be just focused on ourselves. So like giving puts us a little bit outside of ourselves. Having the defined purpose gives meaning to everything that we're doing. That's the second one. The third one is engage. You said before, like to have that to have the presence of mind to be there in the moment. Hmm. We are in a crisis of distraction in this world nowadays.
We are.
And I don't even have to go into that anymore. But like, definitely, if you are feeling like you are a little bit distracted, if you can get a little bit more mindful and have those moments where the only thing that you're focusing on is what's right in front of you, whether that's hiking or whether that's in a state of flow while you're working or whether that's on a podcast or whether that's recording anything, right? If you can put yourself only into that moment, you'll feel better for it afterwards. Just hanging out with friends, by the way, that also. Mm-hmm. And then amazing is the positive mindset, right? If we are, there's a lot of like negative talk that's coming at us from the internet. The internet is a cesspool of, there's a lot of positivity. There's a lot of good stuff, but there's a whole lot of negative stuff and a whole lot of bad stuff. And it kind of puts us into this place where everything's bad and we assume without necessarily knowing. So, you know, and then the tenacity is, nothing ever changed in this world without somebody being persistent behind it. So.
Yeah. Ready to elevate your business? Gorgeous Business Solutions is thrilled to announce our new online courses. In Business Foundations, you'll set or refresh the framework of your business, covering everything from legal structure and financial planning to your unique selling proposition. And in Business Builder, dive into brand identity, sales strategies, and powerful marketing techniques to stand out in today's market. Join a community of entrepreneurs taking the leap to success. Reserve your spot today and watch your business thrive with Gorgeous Business Solutions. Yeah, absolutely. You hit on something I want to go back to in a minute, but just parking on these five real quick. Do you think it's something that can, that is best addressed all at once? Like somebody reads your book, right? Or they listen to the podcast and they hear these give, reason, engage, amazing, and tenacity. Is it something where it's, you think it's best digested one bite at a time, where you're just going to focus on today? You know what? I'm really going to focus on just being more present, and I'll really become, bring that into my daily practice today. And then I'll work on adding these other ends later. Or do you think it's something that daily we can say, you know what, today I'm choosing to be great and I'm going to focus on all these things and bring them in? Do you think separating them out or kind of going all at once?
So there's a couple things. First of all, I think that one of the most valuable things somebody can do is kind of just contemplate all five of them, figure out where's my weakest point, and maybe focus on that one. That's one direction to go in. Another direction to go in is to sit there and say, I'm going to spend the next 20 days focusing on this one key to kind of like elevate that. Another direction. So like that's why I call it a framework as opposed to a system. I don't want people locked down with a system of like, here's step one, here's step two, here's step three. No. There's five keys. If you feel like there's one key that you need more work on, work on that. If you feel like you can work on all five of them, I don't think if you are trying to work on all five of them actively and aggressively, what happens when we try to take too much, when we try to do too much stuff all at the same time, it doesn't really work.
Right.
So that's not really the answer, but you know, there is a level of having more of an awareness, right? So when you know what the five are and you're walking down the street and somebody in front of you drops something, and it might be just a nothing thing, you know, like a kid drops a flower that like they're going to forget about in 5 minutes, but you know, but you know, you can run over, pick it up, and hand it back to them. But, you know, you're walking into a store, somebody's behind you. You hold the door for them. It's just, that's just like a little bit of an awareness of like, oh, there's a moment that I could give, and it doesn't really cost me that much. Let me go do it. And then, you know, sometimes, and you're also allowed to be honest, right? If your church or your synagogue or your community or whatever it is that you have is like, oh, we need somebody to do this, and you are looking at it, and you're like, I can't do it. Just because I said it's really good to give doesn't mean you give to sit there and ruin, you know, you can't.
Right.
Put yourself out of the place that you need to be in for your own success. If you're never volunteering, maybe think about also though, right? Maybe, you know, so there's all these contemplative points to be in. But, you know, either one at a time or kind of like cycling through the five of them every single day, right? So Monday, Tuesday, this one, Wednesday, this one, Thursday. Or at least also just having a little bit more of awareness, right? I really think I should give up on this project. Well, maybe take a moment and evaluate. Are you giving up on the project because it's not a good fit? Awesome. Or are you giving up on the project because you, for whatever reason, you feel like you can't accomplish it even though you should?
Right.
Right. We all start things that we probably never should have started. And the ability to sit there and say, you know what, I'm going to close the door on that and I'm going to move on so that I can focus on other things and do the best I can at other things, that's a really good skill. It's really important. It helps you with a lot of things in life. But sitting there and saying, this is something I really want to do, and I'm not going to do it because this aspect of it is too hard, maybe that's a time to sit there and channel some tenacity and say, you know what, I got to find the strength within myself and just get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. In the book, one of the parts that I'm a highlighter and a writer and a page turner and all kinds of stuff. So one of the places that I went to that gets my coveted highlight and underline in blue ink, which means this one stands out, is I'm pulling the quote out, and he says, I bet if someone did a study, they would find a correlation between dissatisfaction in life and the advent of smartphones. And I'm thinking here we are, we're like 2 days after the presidential election. This will date this podcast at one point. And I'm watching people from all sides of it. This is not getting into in any of the sides of it or anything, but that are either elated or are angry. And where do we go? We go to smartphones, we go to blasting. And then we talked about distraction, which unfortunately, whether we want to or not, because of the advertisement of elections where our phones are getting blown up anyway. All that to say, I can see in all five of these where the smartphone can ruin that. You know, when it comes to giving, so many people are focusing on being distracted by that, by looking at what can I get out of life. Because I believe we've created a competitive society, and it's not competition that breeds all of us finding success. Same thing when it comes to losing our purpose, obviously not being in the present moment. Positive attitude, also hard to do in this day and age with the advent of the smartphone. And then it's easy to be so distracted and give up because of what you're seeing on there. Do you agree? Do you feel that smartphone thing can really impact all of it? And maybe taking it even just a minute further, that one of the ways to find greatness or growth in all of these may be a little bit less time attached to those.
Yes. So there's a few things. First of all, one of the things that I've constantly contemplated, and I have another program in the back of my mind that I want to get out, which is not really necessarily focused directly at fighting against smartphones. It's really hard, right? Because if you want to be the person who's like, I'm going to wage war against either the smartphones or social media or both, you're fighting. It's not an uphill battle. It's like
it's a vertical wall.
It really bothers me that once the smartphones came out, they stopped really developing dumb phones, right? Even the is usually are running a version of Android, right? So it sits there and can do everything that you could want it to do. I mean, literally, if you got me a phone that had a great camera, an option or two for a Maps app so that I could get navigation, music, phone, texting, I would love that. I mean, if you want a great camera, I mean, I've traveled, I've done adventures with like a Canon T4, whatever it was that I had, huge camera, weighs a few pounds. I'm sitting there in a hiking backpacking with 50 pounds on my back and a giant camera in my front, and that takes up significant space when you're walking around. Well, nowadays, I have a GoPro, I have a Insta360, and I have an iPhone. Now, do they get as good of a photo as I could get if I had like this big telephoto lens and all that stuff? Yeah, no, but like they come pretty darn close. Yeah. Right, run and gun, and like do like not gun, but like run and gun, like videography and run and gun, right? Photo. Like I'm just able to like go quickly, you know. So it's I don't know. It would be nice to see somebody, and I think we're getting to that place where there are developers who are like, we're gonna create stuff that kind of like gets all of the apps that are distracting and all of the apps that waste your time, get them off the phone, so that we can kind of reclaim our life. I mean, yeah. Here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. Every single company that makes a smartphone, they make money if you always want the latest version.
Yes.
We all are like, I'm good with what I've got. Now, I got the iPhone 6S a few years after it came out, and I stuck with it for like three or four years or something. I bought an iPhone 11 because the iPhone 6S did not have a good enough low light mode, and I was going on a caving trip, and I wanted to get photos inside the cave. I used that iPhone 11 up until this past February, where I only now – and that iPhone 11 wasn't the brand new one. They were already up to the 13 or something, right? The tech is really good nowadays, where it's not like you don't need the latest or the greatest unless – and most of us do. But they make money by you being on your smartphone, because you're on the smartphone. You've got 100 apps on your – 1,000 apps on your phone. You're like, oh, it's getting slow now. I want to need more data. So you sit there and you're like, oh, I'll get the 16. Look at all these extra features that it's got. Do we need it? I don't know. I mean, so like I have the 15. The reason I upgraded the 15 is camera.
Yeah.
Only reason is that 5x zoom. And right, I just told you, I go out into nature. And if I leave the GoPro and the Insta360 in the car, or if I leave, if the only thing that I have is an iPhone, I get tons of photos and they're great. So the 11, I was noticing the quality of the photos was detracting. So I was like, okay, I'll upgrade the phone because I need the photos. So the smartphones, right? The makers make money by us wanting the latest version, which we need if we're very interested in being on a smartphone all the time. The social media / games / other apps that are on a smartphone, they only make money if you're on it.
Yeah.
So it is their entire goal to get you to go on it. Facebook doesn't make money if you're not on Facebook.
Right.
Twitter doesn't make money, or X doesn't make money if you're not on Twitter. They might make money anyways if you're like, you know, but like Instagram, all any product in which you are not paying for it, you are the product. That's not like my line. Like that's like everything. Any product you're not paying for, you are the product. And if you're not on it, you're not doing what they need you to do to be able to make dollars. So they are constantly doing everything they can and hiring very expensive psychologists to sit there and make it that like you are hitting those endorphin hits and you're hitting those. You're like, another one.
Right, right.
Regular life is just stale in comparison.
Yeah.
When it's not, but we forget, we get so sucked into it that it is. It's, I don't know if we're at this point yet, but it's almost to the point of being a drug.
I call it a drug. Absolutely. I think it is, you know, we have children and so you can see the addiction in there. You know, and I think, yeah, I think it is one of the, maybe that's key number six, get off your dang phone. it's one of the things that is robbing greatness out of people. And it's sad. One of the reasons I originally reached out to you, and is actually becoming quite a conversation with a couple of my coaching clients, that, one of them that is a coach, for, parents, another one that is a therapist, and really trying to get people to get off their devices. Yes. But get out and reconnect with nature. And so that's one of the reasons that I love about your story is that you do get out in nature. I believe that it is not talked about enough, the healing power of nature, whether that's just the fact that we're removed from our phones. But I believe it goes deeper, you know, not to get too woo-woo-y, but I think it goes deeper into connecting in the trees. I live in bare feet as much as I can because I believe in grounding. My neighbors actually think it's funny because they'll catch me doing yard work in bare feet with a weed whacker, but it's just what I do.
The grounding thing, by the way, the funniest thing in the world, there are people out there who are paying $200 for a grounding mat that they then plug into their wall that they then stand on. And I'm like, dude, take off your feet and go walk outside for a little. The truth is, maybe in the city you can't really do that, but like take off your shoes and go walk outside for a little bit barefoot.
Yeah.
This in the ground. So what? Like I tell my kids all the time, like just don't go outside in socks, right? Shoes? Right. I don't really care. You know, they don't really get it. I mean, I hurt my foot. Okay. You know, it happens, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you'll get over it. And then kids 100 years ago until winter, and even then not.
Right.
Kids would be barefoot all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. They'd be outside.
What are you doing that for?
Barefoot, getting grounded, getting the nutrients, getting out in the sunshine. I mean, we are dealing with a pandemic, I believe, of vitamin D deficiency because we are staying inside, which is why we are having depression, ADHD. I mean, I'm not saying some of those things aren't caused by other things, but talking to friends of mine, there are therapists that are handing out medicine like candy instead of first saying, what's your diet look like? And are you moving? And are you getting outside?
Are you eating tons of sugar? Like maybe there's an energy imbalance because you're not eating the right diet. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Did you know also that trees emit an aerosol that has cancer healing properties?
I did not know that.
That has healing properties, including potentially cancer healing properties. I don't want to like misspeak, but like study done that like there are aerosols that come off of trees. If you take those compounds and you take people who never go into nature, that they will get some of the healing benefits of being in nature. That's why I'm always advocating. I'm like, just because I go to a national park or just because, you know, like whatever, like there are people who are not comfortable with being in the backcountry, who the idea of being miles away from a trailhead is terrifying. You don't need that. Go to a local park that has trees and water or whatever and just walk around there for a little bit. The trees are like it changes us, right? You could go to a local park and you're like, oh, that's a cool bird. I've never seen that before. That's cool. Just by stopping and seeing what's going on around you. Yeah. It's so sad that we've gotten so removed from it. And it happens to me also. I'm saying traveling when I'm on the road, I'm like, okay, you know, where are the parks near me? When I'm not traveling, I'm like, okay, I've got all this work that I have to get done while I'm at home. I've got my kids, I've got my house, I've got my this. And it just doesn't happen as much as I would like it to happen. I'm trying to change that, obviously. But, like, it's scary how much we are neglecting this great – excuse me – this great power of nature to change us.
Is free. You know, like you talked about, the people that are buying these and I, you had mentioned the grounding mats. There's grounding sheets now that you can plug in, which scares me being under something I'm plugged into under the wall. But I mean, if we're looking for, if you look at the rising cost of healthcare, you look at, you know, paying for therapists and coaches, and those are all important. But let's start with the free stuff. Let's just get outside. We had an interesting experience about 2 weeks ago. We are redoing our website and some branding stuff. And so we were working with one of our production company partners. And part of it is they took us out into the gorge, the Columbia River Gorge, where we live here in Washington State. And we were walking and hiking and going up to a waterfall and under the trees. And we're sitting there working. They're telling me what to do. And I mean, it was, they had a mission and they were on it. They're absolute professionals. But they just getting out there after about an hour and a half, I went, man, I feel good. You know, we got out and I love nature and I get in it, but we get so stuck in the grind of, you know, kids always need us. The bills keep coming in. You know, we have a business to run. We have, you know, and it piles on us.
You can take your kids out there, but you know what happens to most of us when we say, I mean, when I go to my kids, I'm like, let's go hiking. I don't want to go. And I'm like, what? Sometimes I let them convince me, like, let's not go.
Yeah.
When I get them out there, right? I'm like, tough luck. You're going anyways. 3 minutes. They're like, this is the best thing ever. This is amazing. You see that? And they're just excited and they're running around in their nature. I'll give you an example. You know, we had like a little bit of a family holiday like a few weeks ago where we were off for like a week, no school, no work. And so, you know, the 4 days that we have nothing doing, we always want to try and do an activity. What are we going to do? So like, I think it was Monday and I was like, let's go to the beach. So like, you know, I'm down here in Florida, right? The beach is in play most of the year, right? Maybe it's a little bit, I'm in Central Florida. So cold like in December, but it's really not. I'm like, let's go to the beach. The whole day complaining. I don't want to go. This, we need to do this. We need to do this. We need to do this. What about this? What about this? Maybe we shouldn't go. Maybe we should. On and on and on and on and on. And like, I mean, I knew how late it was. And I was like, we just got to go. Right. It's an hour away. We've been down here for a couple of years. We've never gone. Like the kids have barely ever been to the beach in their entire lives, you know, just because of the way, you know, we never prioritized it over the years. They've been a couple times, but not that many. Let's just go. You know, like the kids are out back playing in the sand in the back. And my was like, we don't need to go because they're playing in the sand. I'm like, let's go to the beach. We get into the car. We get there late. It's like there's only like an hour and a half, 2 hours before like sunset and the rocket launch and everything else. Oh my gosh. Like they're like, this is the best thing ever. They're like getting into the water. And that was the other part that was kind of throwing a wrench into the plans, is that the hurricane that just came through Florida recently messed up a lot of the currents and a lot of the cycles of the tides. And there's been a lot of rip currents and it's potentially dangerous and there's beaches that are closed. And so that's why I was like, I'm not sure we were like initially the plan was to go to Blue Heron Bridge, which is a fantastic spot for snorkeling and to take the kids snorkeling. But the reports that were coming up from there is that the water has been so silty for weeks that you can't see anything. So there's no point. So whatever. So I was like, let's just get to, you know, and I took them out there. They had such a good time and they're sitting there and just, you know, experiencing the waves and running in or running out. And I didn't even let them go in that deep. Cause I'm like, I don't know what the rip currents are like. Right. We don't want to be dealing with any of that. So I had them go into like, I think my knees or something, you know, like if I was wearing a shirt, which I took it off at one point, it would not have gotten that wet. And, you know, there were a couple times the waves were hitting pretty hard. There was one time, like most of the times, every time except for one, I was able to stand up and they got blown around a little bit, my two older kids. But like one time it came in, they got thrown and then I got thrown and I was like, so I stood up and I'm like, get up, get up, get up, get up. Because, you know, when they pull away, they pull away.
Oh, yeah. Strong. Oh, yeah.
But we all these excuses and all these reasons, like we should, it's just too much. And the kids don't want to, and the kids don't this, and the kids don't this, the kids just want to whatever. And ultimately it's, they get so much out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, to kind of start wrapping this up for time wise, we could talk all day long, clearly. There's a couple of big takeaways that I'm getting here. Number one, we need to be very purposeful and intentional about pursuing greatness in our lives, pursuing, giving to people, finding purpose in what we do, in being more present and having a more positive attitude, and being more persistent. And a lot of that comes from having to step away from our phones and get out in nature, even if that's just the beginning.
Local parks, so, man. Local parks.
Yeah.
Walk down the street, and go there, walk exactly. around for a little bit, come home.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be out, in the national forest, although now I'm jonesing for a trip. Thanks for that.
I haven't been. Tell me about that so I can put it into my list of places to visit. I did a whole bunch of stuff on the peninsula, but I did Rialto. I did Soul Duck. I did a whole bunch of stuff up there, but I didn't do everything. I was only there for a few hours.
There's so much great. Oh, yeah. So many great. That's part of why I moved up here from California. There's so much here. I love it, okay. Last two questions I ask everybody. What does whole life success look like for you? What does that mean to you?
Number one, to be able to say I was a great dad, at the end of life. Hopefully at some point to be able to say I was a great grandfather, great family man. And then also, financially, this was a realization I had at one point when I was kind of under the influence, years and years and years ago, before I even was married, before I had kids. If you can get to the end of your life and everything else was a abject failure, but you're like, I was a great dad, and you really were, not a life badly lived, right? There's a lot of metrics for success that people think of, but they're not necessarily the success that really creates that beautiful intrinsic feeling at the end of a life. So definitely the family and the dad and the wife and the husband and all that stuff. If I can, and if I can sit there and maintain that great dad, great husband, and everything else like that, to develop a great business to change lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you're on the road to developing the great business and the great mission. I want to see this go further and hopefully, I'd love to check in with you in a couple of years or whatever and find out. I don't know if I have time to be with you, Steve, but yeah, let's figure this out.
No, I'm saying that for sure. And let me know what city you're in and we'll put your email in. So you'll get a heads up and you'll be like, oh wait, are you going to be in? Oh, let's go. Or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely love it. Last question as we wrap here is what book or books — I used to just ask book, but there's so many great ones out there — has most impacted your life?
You mentioned The Alchemist before. That's one of my favorite books. Every single time that I've gotten into a pretty dark place, I've read it. And another one is Ender's Game. It's just a big favorite for a very, very, very long time. It's Orson Scott Card. It's fiction. I don't know if that impacted the life in a big way, but he has another one, which is fascinating, called The Worthing Saga. The book is a whole thing, but there's a novella at the beginning of it, and you don't necessarily have stories from the world later. It's very sci-fi, very fantasy type stuff. It's just a fascinating book because he explores in that book what happens if you kind of leave here and come back 10,000 years later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he plays a little bit with the idea that genetics can change, when you have small shifts now, but if you take 10,000 years, maybe there's huger shifts. There's so many. There's another one that I don't remember exactly why, but there's a fantastic, fantastic, fantastic book. It is called The Last Dragon. I believe it's a translation from the original Spanish or Italian or something. Fiction is my groove and everything. Sure. But yeah, The Alchemist is certainly amazing. And then The Last Dragon is just a beautiful story also. What the heck, talking about fiction and everything, there's two movies that I felt were pretty cerebral, but also really fantastic that I watched recently. One was Arrival, and one was called Interstellar, which I never watched it for some reason. And I watched it and I was like, this is amazing. And I made my daughter watch it. And she's 13. She's like, oh my God. So it was really good. Yeah.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, hey, I want to thank you again for coming on today. It's been a brilliant conversation. I think we could go hours and hours and hours. Yeah. So we'll meet up for a hike one day and talk about how to make the world a better place. But thank you for what you are doing in the world. Guys, you got to go get Ari's book. I'll put a link in the show notes, so you can go on there and grab it. Easy read because of the way he's written. He's written it so brilliantly that it's one of those things that, you know, when I'm reading those heavy, heady books, like it takes a while, but this took me just a couple of days, you know, with a busy life. So definitely go check it out. Thank you again for coming on today, man. And we're going to be keeping an eye on you. I'm going to put links to all of Ari's contact, social media, all that in there as well. Follow him, check him out. I'm sure you announce where you're speaking ahead of time at some events. So
most of them are private events, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, once we get you on the bigger, the world stages, we'll make sure we can follow you there as well. So
awesome. Yeah, feel free to reach out. Y'all say hi.
Perfect. Perfect. Thanks for giving us some of your time today. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you. All right.
Man, wasn't that an absolute treat? It's been an honor to have Ari on the show. I was looking forward to this. Took a while to connect with him and get the schedule up because he is such a busy speaker traveling the country. So very excited for this opportunity. Again, his book, we will have in the show notes a link to that. And I think I'm going to link The Alchemist also. We both talked about it. If you haven't read that, that's another great book that we'll put in there. So just to summarize, Ari's book is The Little Book of Greatness. And if you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to show it here in the camera. It was a great read. And I think the key takeaways for this are the five keys to greatness that he mentions in the book. Number one, give, to provide more to others. Number two, reason, to have a purpose in life and at work. Number three, engage, be more present in the present moment. Number four, amazing, have a more positive attitude. And number five, tenacity, to be more persistent. Guys, I hope this episode has been good for you. I hope there's some takeaways in there. I hope you go buy Ari's book and support him. Connect with him on the social media links that will also be in the show notes. Let's build this community up. Let's connect with these guests that we have on and really just continue to create that whole life success for ourselves. It's always exciting to see people winning. I've had the blessing this last week to talk to some of our people that we're connected with about how they're winning. And so I'm hoping to just simply empower you to achieve a balanced and prosperous business and whole life journey. And then hopefully together we can uncover the secrets of creating a harmonious life where business, family, and health are all flourishing in unison. Thank you for joining us on today's show. We will see you next week.